If you ever go to A-list art galleries, you don't necessarily see a lot of big, colorful, figurative paintings these days. That's kind of passé. There is an exhibit up in New York right now, though, that stands out for just that reason. It's by an artist named Trenton Doyle Hancock. He's a 34-year-old who lives in Houston, and his show is filled with huge, impressive paintings in vivid color.
The color that you do see is still very bright, right out of the tube colors like red and bright yellows. The base color of this painting is pink, and in a way, it's the color that ties all of humanity together. Because if you know, we're pink on the inside. I did a little research.
You could describe his work as Hieronymus Bosch meets Andy Warhol on the cover of a sci-fi paperback. Hancock talked with Studio 360's David Krasnow about how his childhood obsessions are fueling his adult career.
Even the walls of Trenton Doyle Hancock's exhibit are painted, with big black drops coming down from the ceiling and pooling along the baseboard in little waves. Each has a white letter in it. They spell out F-E-A-R.
There's this actually amazing fairy tale book called The Very Tall Book of Make-Believe. My grandmother was an elementary school teacher, and this is one of the books she had on her shelf. And the stories were very strange, like little kids getting pulled under doors and they'd be flattened out. Just creepy enough to maybe not be suitable for kids.
This is a guy who knows how to relate to his inner child.
I was lucky to have grown up in a time when there was this explosion of really weird sci-fi based toys, like Masters of the Universe, Thundercats, all, and it was always good against evil. You know, I'd get a few action figures and set them up and just look at them as sculptural objects. The bad guys were more interesting looking than the good guys. I was like, man, why didn't Skeletor just blow Eternia to hell and start his own place? Like, he had this beautiful blue skin. I was like, wow, he's blue. He-Man, he's just some, like, blonde dude. That's not cool.
Now Hancock has his own mythical universe where he gets to make all the rules.
The story that I've been working on is about these characters that are trying to find salvation through color.
There are two kinds of characters here. The first Hancock calls mounds.
Mounds, and they're like little, like mountains with fur on them. And they sort of represent the earth and have these big stupid smiles on their faces all the time. Mounds are filled with meat.
The others are vegans.
They were humans that were banished to this lower realm. And all of their humanity was stripped away from them. All the things that make us human, like hair. Vegans don't have any hair, and vegans have lost the ability to see in color. Their eyes have now become bloodshot and huge.
Now, wait a second. These creatures are called vegans. Vegans, like those super vegetarians who don't eat eggs or milk or anything from an animal.
I was in graduate school. My girlfriend at the time was roommates with some vegans. Like anybody else associated with any other ideology, can become dogmatic and a little preachy sometimes. Like, this is kind of weird. I come from Texas. Everything's, you know, our vegetables have meat in them. So there's just domestic conflicts, I would say.
I always thought vegans were highly principled, socially responsible types, liberals. Hancock's vegans are hateful. They hate meat, and they hate color. But let the record state that Trenton Doyle Hancock does not hate actual vegans.
I even did a performance for 6 months as a vegan to test my own limits. That's a tough lifestyle. The first few weeks, I would have dreams of eating pizza with cheese on it, like this recurring nightmare. The vegans in my work became more distinct from, say, veganism in real life, which I actually have no problem with, really.
In this show, some of Hancock's vegans are trying to find redemption.
There was this one vegan named Sesam, which is Moses spelled backwards. And he was chosen to guide veganism back into the light, back into color, and back into humanity.
These good vegans, they like mounds. They eat them. They rip pink meat out of them and stuff themselves with it. The meat helps them see in color. Being good is a complicated, kind of icky business. And it's dangerous.
That's what this show Fear is all about. It's about these new good vegans hiding because they're being hunted down and killed. And darkness is being restored to the underworld. On the surface, my work is like little boy art, you know. It's goblins and good and evil. But I think the heart of the work, at least on that level, is that I don't know what good and evil actually are. And we don't know, and it's up to the viewer as to who they choose to identify with.
Hancock still has this obsessive boy's belief in his own made-up world, but he's also got an eye on another world, the grown-up world, where paintings are bought and sold, and good and evil don't show up on people's skin.
I just use the world that we live in as a jumping-off point to get to the strangeness that happens in my made-up world.
For Studio 360, I'm David Krasnow.
You can see images of some of Trenton Doyle Hancock's paintings at studio360.org, or if you happen to be in New York, you can check them out for real in person at the James Cohan Gallery. That is it for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next week. You can go to our website, studio360.org, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter and to the free weekly podcast of the whole show. And if you're still in the market for holiday gifts, while you're at our website, you can check out our own staff favorites from this year, like the record by the new indie newcomer Tao Nguyen. Or the riveting documentary Man on Wire about Philippe Petit, who walked between the World Trade Towers 30-odd years ago.
There is somebody out there in a tightrope walk between the two towers of the World Trade Center, right at the tippy top.
That somebody was Philippe Petit, a 24-year-old.
You can see all of our staff picks for 2008 at studio360.org. Studio 360 is a production of WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein, Vital Malad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lawton,
Pike Malinowski,
Sarah Lilly,
Rob Weisberg,
Catherine Epstein,
Greta Cohn,
Emily Frost,
Chloe Plant,
Hamad Ahmed.
Special thanks this week to Rex Doan and Kevin Nutt. Our theme music is by David Van Tiegel.
PRI's Studio 360 is funded in part by Ken and Lucy Lehman, who believe that winning workplaces respect, reward, and invest in their employees, by the Lilly Auchincloss Foundation, by the SC Group, whose charitable resources include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds at fjc.org, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art.
PRI, Public Radio International.